Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that little interruption right there. I'm back, and again, this is Soulful Solutions, and I am Dr. Deb. It is so wonderful to see you this morning again. For those who didn't get my little insert the first time, I just want to let you know. I hope you slept well. I hope you woke up well. You know, one thing about life is sometimes we go through so many different changes, and it causes us to feel some type of way, you know. So however you went to sleep last night, it's a good chance you're going to wake up that way this morning. So just get a cup of coffee or whatever you need and just kind of sit back and listen to us for a little while. We're going to be talking about something pretty interesting, and that thing is called fear. How fear affects our bodies, how it affects our minds, how it affects our lives. So, you know, maybe you definitely will want to listen in to get some tips on how to deal with this thing called fear, because especially the pandemic is like forever there, okay? It doesn't seem like it's going away, but we still have to live. We have to live with some type of surety, live with some type of comfort that no matter what is going on, we're going to be okay. All right, so let's get to it. I want to welcome my wonderful co-host, that's Ms. Naima. Good morning, Queen. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Yes, and for those who are listening, you're on Blog Talk Radio. Let me welcome them and get on with our introduction.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605 9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Dr. Dev, and I am Dr. Dev, and this is my wonderful, beautiful co-host, Miss Naima Latif. Absolutely. So we are, oh my goodness, this is a great topic today. It is such a good topic. How does fear affect our mind and body and spirit? Isn't that something? And, you know, this is something that we deal with on an every day level. I mean, this pandemic that doesn't seem like it's going away. Then it starts to mutate and other things. We're like, okay, enough of that. Can we just be free?
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't even include our own personal lives. You know, it's so many things that fear is intertwined in. I guess that's one of the reasons why I go back to it so often, because I think people really need to understand it so they can deal with it, but most of all, so they can eliminate most of the things that they don't need, because it's all about a mindset. It's a mindset of fear, you know, and that thing is called anxiety, and anxiety is one of those things that affect over 30% of our population. And, you know, and I'm not minimizing anxiety, because it is a very real thing. You know, it's claimed or accepted as a mental illness. And I want people to understand that anxiety can be any area. It doesn't matter if it's generalized anxiety. It could be just having anxiety over a test. You know, you have to take for school. It's so many areas where it can affect our lives. So I just wanted to chat about that. And this is the topic I had on before, but someone told me, can you talk about that again? Okay. I will definitely do that. So it was a specific situation, Naima, and I want to kind of that on the front face right now so we can kind of, you know, take it apart. This person was suffering with anxiety where it was literally they were afraid to come outside. And we call that a social phobia.
Yes.
In the mental health world. That's what it's called, a social phobia, where they are afraid to come outside, and especially now because of the pandemic. So you can imagine how their lives were totally altered. I mean, then, even with the social phobia, but now they don't want to come out at all. So now there's no social connection with just people. If they have loved ones or friends, they would have to have them to visit the home. Otherwise, they don't see anyone. They don't interact with anyone. And on a large scale, a lot of people suffer with this, as well as, you know, social awkwardness as well. Just going in crowds. Or, you know, being around just one person that they don't know. Their hearts start to beat, they start to feel this intensity in their, you know, in their upper bodies. I was told they feel flushed, you know. Some people feel choking, you know. I mean, the body just goes into flight, fight, or freeze mode, and nothing is happening. Isn't that amazing?
Well, everything actually happens in your mind that you're reacting to.
Correct.
And so you are producing all of the internal responses as if it was actually happening. But your body's responding to what you have created in your own imagination. I think of this saying that I heard a long time ago as a child. A coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man only one.
Wow.
And what that says is that you go through the process of experiencing some tragic thing. Every time you fear it, every time you put it in your mind, every time you imagine it, you actually go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you imagine somebody's going to hurt you. You imagine you're going to be embarrassed. You imagine you're going to feel humiliated. You imagine that you're going to feel pain. You imagine all these things you imagine that you fear, you're actually experiencing it.
Yes.
Energetically. So your body's responding as if you are going through. That's why you have the fight or flight response and the anxiety, because you're experiencing the thing that you have put forth in your imagination as if it were real. What is fear? False evidence of appearing real. So you are experiencing the thing that you fear is going to happen. Biologically, your body's responding as if you're experiencing it. So you are, in fact, experiencing it when it isn't happening anywhere except in your own mind. So this is why people are becoming so paralyzed right now. They're afraid they're going to get the illness. They're afraid they're going to be sick. They're afraid they're going to lose their loved ones and have their lives cut shorter than they would have liked. They're afraid they're not going to be able to enjoy life. And so they're actually creating those conditions that they fear. And none of them are actually happening except in their own minds. And if you keep listening to people describe all the horrible things that can happen and you keep fearing it, you keep experiencing it as if it is happening.
Yeah.
And there's always a lesson in everything. What we are to learn from going through this experience is how to stop allowing people to manipulate us through fear. But we have to go through this, and it's going to take some people longer to get the lesson than others.
Yes.
But there are many people who have decided, you know what, I'm going to stop watching the news. I'm going to stop listening to all these death reports. I'm just going to live my life and have fun. And people might criticize them, but truly these are the people who are living, the ones who are barricading themselves in their homes and not breathing and not talking to their loved ones and not hugging their children. They're already dead. They've already died that 1,000 deaths in their mind. And so they're not experiencing the joy of life. not experiencing the joy of being with their loved ones, not experiencing celebrations, not experiencing good memories, because all you have when you leave here are your memories. So if you don't create any memories other than your fear, then that's all you have. You've spent all your time that you were given to enjoy this life. You've spent it in fear and dread and anxiety. You've wasted the time you were given. And so when you leave this earth, because we all have an appointed time, you know, our time is up. We got to go with just a temporary assignment. And you look back and say, I could have really lived. I could have done this. I could have done that.
But then
there's regret. Because, I mean, this was an opportunity that you wasted living your fear, which was false evidence appearing real. So what we're to learn from this experience, that for eons of time, we have been living our fear instead of creating our reality. And we have allowed people to manipulate us into wasting our time fearing what could happen instead of taking control of our lives and creating what we want to happen. Like I said, there are going to be some people who take longer to learn this lesson than others, but there are many people who are finally getting it. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to live my life and enjoy my life. And I finally understood. I used to get so upset at my father, and he would eat, you know, because he, like a lot of elderly men, you know, they kind of get a bit stomach in life and, you know, a lot of different things. And I'm thinking, okay, you're not eating healthy, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. But, you know, he's like, I'm going to enjoy my food. If I want a cake, I'm going to eat it. And I finally understood. A lot of people who might be doing things that we say, well, this is unhealthy, well, this is unsafe, this is that, and this is that, but they're enjoying their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're enjoying their food. They're enjoying whatever little silly pleasures they have. They're laughing. They're having fun. They're living in joy. As opposed to what we might think, well, you know, you should have a slice of celery instead of that chocolate cake. Well, you know, maybe that might be. But you know what? Eat that cake. Have fun. You know, and I know that sounds strange, but until you can enjoy the thing that might be physically healthy or physically not dangerous, who am I to tell you not to enjoy the things that you enjoy? It's your time. It's your time to spend. It's your time to enjoy whatever it is you're experiencing. So let you enjoy it. Because you don't know when your last day is. And so sitting around doing nothing, fearing death, waiting to die, and then you die, and then you did nothing during that time, you could have been enjoying life. Does that make any sense? So I'm understanding the people that often seem defiant when they're doing things. You say, well, this is dangerous, and this is unhealthy, and this is, yeah, but you know what? That's fun for them. They're enjoying their life.
Yes.
And what I might think they should be doing, they might not find joy in that. So let them find joy with the time that they have, because there's going to be a time when they're not here. They're going to be gone. And, yeah, there's another thing happening after that. But you look back and you think, what did I do with the time that I had here? What did I do with this earth experience that is meant to be enjoyed? Did I enjoy it or did I live in fear? So it's a lesson to be learned in this, because we have allowed many people to rob us of our joy or cause us to rob ourselves of joy out of fear of what was going to happen. You think of how many people have succumbed to oppression out of fear. Well, if I don't do this, then I'm going to be socially ostracized. Or if I don't do that, I might be kicked out of our social club or not allowed this job or spoken ill of or might even be imprisoned or beaten or, you know, all kinds of fears that we have allowed to control our lives.
Yes.
And it's time to break that yoke of fear. And that's what this lesson is about, breaking the yoke of fear that's keeping us from living.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And as you said, a very key point of fear is in the mind. So fear is a choice. And when people are traumatized, because I find this with my clients and patients all the time, when they are traumatized, they relive that fear over and over and over again. And it does not occur on the outside of them. It occurs on the inside. And then it starts to mutate. It starts to change the way we feel about ourselves. You know, it changed the way we look at life and how we even apply it in relationships, how it's applied in workplaces, how it's applied in just, you know, school and everything. So it greatly affects us. And what we need to do is dissect it. Usually comes with a overload of familiarity from our past lives all the way to our present life. And it is the energy that we were created to use, but unfortunately it has gotten entangled into these difficult life patterns that we experience. Like, okay, for example, when something tragically happens, it could have happened in your past, but then the mind itself literally attaches itself, the subconscious mind, okay, attaches itself to that feeling, that emotion that you felt, and the body sense that you felt at that particular time. So it could have happened 15 years ago, but because the subconscious is attached to it, literally enmeshed, it's like it can happen right now, you know. And we don't see the fine, thin line because, again, it is an overwhelming expression of feelings to the point where it is hard to dissect. You can't see where it stops unless you have been trained on different therapies such as DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, is to notice and be on alert of where it starts. Because the brain only can occupy one thought at a time. So we have 45 seconds. Mm. For example, here comes a negative emotion attached to a negative thought. We have 45 seconds to shift into a positive thought and emotion.
So what happens after 45 seconds?
Yeah, well, if the brain is just going to go on auto. It's an auto drive, automatic. It's just like riding a bike. You know, like, for example, if you, whatever you've learned over and over and over again becomes a habit. So the brain creates a habit, a response. With or without your permission, because it's automatic. I call it being on the autopilot. You see, because the autopilot knows how you responded before. So it continues to respond, like, automatically. And that's why individuals with anxiety or even PTSD, any type of diagnosis when it's dealing with memory, or anything attached to the memory neocortex. When that happens, they immediately go back into that space and time. I mean, the brain literally does a shift back in time. And they start feeling it, thinking it, and it's like it was real. That's one thing about fear that has the, what they call, upper hand on, you know, a person's mind and spirit and body. Unless you know how to shift, because that's the goal. The goal is like, okay, here's that negative thought. Here's that feeling coming on. Okay, I got to shift quickly, because if I don't shift quickly, then I'm going to go into autopilot, and I have to ride that emotional roller coaster until it's ended, because I can't stop it then.
Ooh. Now, I'm struggling with a thing, and I'm so glad that we're addressing this, because, you know, like you said, something can happen that can trigger a past memory.
Yes.
And something happened that triggered that past memory, and I fell into a depression, and, you know, and I lingered there too long, and it was like I couldn't shift my brain out of it, and it affected me in such a way. It's like it zapped all my energy, and everything. So now I'm understanding what happens, you know, when I think that thought. I got to make myself, you know, shift to another thought in order to create another internal response.
Yeah.
Before I get stuck in that memory that was, you know, a bit of a childhood trauma.
So, okay.
I think we all have something that has happened that created such a bad feeling. And it happened during a time when we were children and we didn't have the emotional tools to talk ourselves out of it or pull ourselves out of it. And if something happens to recreate that feeling, we can get stuck in a downslide of depression. And sometimes we don't even know how it happened or where it came from. But I'm glad you're clarifying this so that we kind of know that within that 45 seconds we got to make that shift. Otherwise, we get stuck in that pattern that was created from that bad experience.
Absolutely. And I just want to, you know, tell our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to call in at 515-605-9325 and hit 1, press 1, and we will be able to answer those questions. Again, that number is 515-605-9325 and press 1. Yes, and we call that, Naima, we call it mental paralysis when you feel that you've gotten stuck, because the brain is trying to figure out, okay, do you want to fight, flight, or freeze, or do you want to come out? Mm. And when it doesn't realize what it is, because remember, you're on the subconscious autopilot, so I always tell my clients, I said, open your mouth and say, okay, that's enough. Mm. I'm ready to leave now. I'm not going to worry about that or whatever. You got to get a mantra. The mantra is the one that's going to prompt the brain, and you have to say it out loud so that you can hear it, and it prompts the brain to then know what to do. Otherwise, it just stays there, and you just start, like you said, feeling. Because now you're in your feeling center in your brain. You're not in your logical center in your brain. Logic center is like, okay, this is happening. Let me rationalize. You're not there. Feeling is just feeling. That's it. It's just emotion. That's all it is. It's not, we can make choices in our emotions, but most of the time they're impulsive if we do make them. And most of the time the brain doesn't listen.
Wow.
It doesn't listen because the emotions are stronger than thought.
Mm.
They're more, the energy is much greater. So that, you have to know where you're at and what's going on in your body before you can tell it how to respond. Because it's very similar to a computer. And think about it, a computer cannot be guided if you don't put in any information.
Right. It just stays stuck.
That's it. It's only going to do what it is. So we're going to have a quick commercial, and we will be right back.
All righty. Back in a moment. Stay with us. And for those who are on our switchboard, if you've got a question, just press 1. That'll light your number up on our switchboard, and we know you've got something to say. And we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com. And I'm Viato.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Before that, the brain doesn't always
know how to deal with fear. It attaches itself to so many familiar experiences, and we are permeated in so many areas with fear. And one thing I've learned also, Naima, is that our minds, our, you know, consciousness attaches itself more so to traumatic events than just happy events.
Yeah, why
you know?
Is that? Why do we tend to grasp at the negative? Is it fear that makes us go toward the negative thing that happened as opposed to remembering the happy time, like, you know, that wonderful birthday party we had at 5 years old and everybody sang happy birthday and we got this wonderful toy? You know, what makes us gravitate toward the negative thing, like, you know, the spanking we got at 4 years old because, you know, our mother said, don't eat that candy, and I'll be remembering that, and that's, you know, the memory. I mean, why do we gravitate toward the painful thing rather than the happy thing? Or is that a matter of a mind's decision? And why are we deciding the negative memory?
Well, you got to remember, the emotions are the strongest patterns of life that we know. It's not the thought pattern. So whatever intense emotion that's what the brain truly remembers.
Mm-hmm.
If it was intense emotion. And most your happy times are, I mean, you're happy. You know, you're thrilled.
Yeah.
But it's totally different than losing a loved one.
Mm.
You know, or a car accident that nearly killed you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Now it's like the brain is only moved by the energy behind that emotion. And when that energy is strongest, it just attaches itself. It doesn't know that memory is difficult for you. It doesn't know that is an uncomfortable thought pattern with that memory.
Mm.
All it does, it gives it back to you. And most people that deal with anxiety they're on autopilot. They're literally on autopilot, and they are feeling, you know, these emotions or this great intense fear. Like, for example, generalized anxiety, your body just goes into panic mode. It's no particular reason. You could be driving a car. You could be sitting in your house watching TV. You know, it just goes in a panic mode because we were created to prepare for fear. You know, our mind was created to prepare for fear. But what happens is it's so often to the brain doesn't know, you know, if there's something happening or something doesn't happen. And our sensory organs, okay, our sensory organs, like, you know, our brains, like taste, smell, all of those, sight, hearing, okay, we could just be watching television and something triggers us. So the brain goes immediately into fear mode. Nothing's happening.
Mm.
And so it doesn't cipher. Okay, this is just a television show. Okay, that's logic, right?
It's only a movie. Yeah.
All right, that's logic. But we're supposed to make that decision.
Mm.
Consciously, eyes wide open. Oh, this is, I know, yeah, I feel this thing coming on. Oh, that's right, this is just a movie. This is not real.
The people enjoy that. They enjoy being scared by scary movies and anticipation of some horrible thing happening, some painful thing. What is that people enjoy reliving a sense of fear and danger that makes scary movies so popular? What is that in us? Why are we enjoying being scared to death?
Again, it is an intense emotion.
Okay.
And we get addicted to it.
Experience that emotion.
You can get, don't you know there is emotional addiction?
Mm. Wow.
Yes, it's like you can be addicted to anger.
Wow. A light bulb just went on my head. See this little thing, light bulb.
You can be, because think about it.
If you keep triggering something, you're addicted to it. I know people that are addicted to anger, and no matter what you talk about, they will go back to the thing that has made them angry and keep reliving it and keep talking about it and keep wallowing in it.
Yes.
That's an addiction, isn't it?
Yes. Think about it. Anything that's repetitive is a habit.
Wow.
Anything. It doesn't matter.
It's like people who are addicted to drugs.
It's a habit.
I mean, have you ever met somebody, they're always in this emotional drama with somebody, whether it's a love triangle or whatever, but they're always intensely in it. And it's like they create it. No matter who they're with, they create that same drama. That's an addiction.
And more so, Naima, with the addiction, there's cycles that come with the addiction.
Mm.
So this is why this topic is so extremely important, because I remember having the last show, we did touch on it a little bit, but we didn't go in depth into it. So there is an addiction to fear, and it's that addiction comes in what fear is then transformed into what is called a addiction to unhappiness.
Wow.
Okay.
Addiction to unhappiness.
Right. Addiction to unhappiness, and we call that pessimism.
When no matter what the situation is, you find a negative aspect of it, and you just
Correct.
Keep focusing
because
on
you,
that.
You don't realize that that's a fear. You think it's just a normal way you are. You know, oh, nothing is ever right. You have some people, when things are going right, they are afraid. They're looking for
like
something
that.
To go wrong.
And
they're looking.
Like
that's why I say they're feening for something, whether they realize it or not. It is an addiction. So we can, and I know it sounds really weird, be addicted to unhappiness. We could be addicted to anger. We could be addicted to frustration. We could be addicted to irritation. We could be anything that literally changes the way we would want peace, okay? Well, I mean, you say, well, can we be addicted to peace? Sure we can.
I mean,
if it's habitual, whatever it is, if you practice it, whatever it is, but for the topic today, we're talking about fear. So if I get into a relationship and I just think that relationship is going to fail before I even start, what is that?
Wow. So you actually sabotage it. You create
Correct.
Situations so it will fail and fulfill your fear.
You look exactly whether you realize it or not. And you know, when you ask yourself, is this volunteer or is it involuntary? Well, somewhat both, because you're making a choice to do absolutely nothing. And you know you've been cycling this way. Every time you would get into a relationship, it looks like everything is going okay, and then all of a sudden you think, you know, all of a sudden you think, oh, it's just going to go wrong. No, your brain
creates.
Is wired that way, believe it or not. So how do we change this distorted thinking?
I can think of several people that are on these repetitive cycles of bad relationships, but you start to wonder, well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's not them. I always meet these terrible guys. All these women are no good. You know, and I'm thinking, either you keep picking the same type of person that isn't compatible to you, or you keep creating the same situation that causes conflict. But somewhere it's inside of you, because you're the one that keeps having the same condition, the same experience. It's different people, but it's the same experience over and over and over again. So it's got to be a pattern of thought. So
Correct.
How does a person recognize it's them that creates the condition that they're experiencing? And how do they
Correct.
Change the brain, change the thought pattern, so they don't keep recreating the same cycle?
That's the reason why people need therapy. But majority of people that walk this earth do not think they have an issue with fear.
Mm.
Until the anxiety becomes so intense they can't live their lives anymore. But the anxiety's been there all the time. Anxiety's, don't you know people have anxiety because they don't know how to approach happiness?
Wow, they don't know how to approach it.
Yeah, they don't know how to approach it, which means that when something good happens, remember I said, they self-sabotage, they think, oh, I'm not going to be happy in this relationship. This is going to be the same one like it was before. And nothing's happening.
Mm.
But then our mind starts, like you said, creating these chaotic thoughts because of past issues. And not realizing we start over every time. But again, we are on a pallet. Fear of the uncertainty is what it's called. I feel uncertain, you know, and that uncertainty starts to create a life pattern of uncertainty. So I'm not certain in anything. I'm not certain about my job. I'm not certain about my children. I become indecisive. I become unsure, I become doubtful, and before I realize it, I'm just an unhappy person. Here comes that addiction again. There it is, right there. And I go back through that cycle, then I go back through another cycle of the same thing, leading to the same area. So how do we stop this? We have to catch ourselves. I call it cueing, C-U-E-I-N-G.
Mm.
You have to start cueing yourself. Stop thinking the worst before it even comes about. You cannot self-sabotage. You know, you constantly say what you're not doing. I'm not doing this. I'm not happy. I won't be self-defeating. You know, those things of that nature. So we go from self-defeat to self-sabotage, leading very closely to self-destruction. Because what else can it be? If you don't allow the mind to grow, it's going to die.
Mm.
If you don't allow yourself to be happy, you're going to be miserable and bitter. And you still can't live. Not only that, Naima, when we get caught up in these cycles that happen, guess what our brain does? Starts releasing hormones.
Ah.
Those hormones are not serotonins, which make us feel better. They're not endorphins, which gives us euphoria. Okay? There's this thing called adrenaline that becomes toxic. Adrenaline should only happen when we are in fight or flight mode. Mm. But when adrenaline is released on a repetitive, and any psychiatrist will tell you this, anyone that's dealing with neuroscience psychology will tell you this, when adrenaline is being released at the inopportune times, it goes into the bloodstream, turns into this thing called cortisol.
Mm.
Cortisol is a toxic chemical.
Ooh.
That turns into what they call free radicals, stress hormones, then causes blood flow to decrease.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. That's how important that we have to recognize where fear is in our lives. And, I mean, the thing about it is it's intense fear. Fear is a natural thing. Stress is a natural thing, but it becomes toxic is when we start, again, self-defeating, self-sabotaging, self-destruction. Not wanting to just, what does happiness mean? Happiness is being happy when babies are born. You know, being happy is doing weddings. And those are small smidgens of our emotions. But let something happen that is traumatic. Oh, my God, we will relive that a million times plus one, you know?
Mm.
Not realizing that the brain is just trying to figure out, is this what you want? So let me let you feel this. Mm. This is what you want because you pay a lot of attention to it, so it must
be
what you
want.
So I'll give you more of that. Matter of fact, I know some more of that you got in your past, the same kind of feeling. Let me give you some of those experiences. Just, you want this. And when you think that every day, you are on autopilot, whether you want to be or not. Now, guess what happens? Here comes a diagnosis. Of anxiety, because all of that fear is going to cause you anxiety. Now your senses are heightened by it. So if you, if there's sound, a touch, a smell that even resembles or even associates itself with whatever the fear is, now it's reliving all over again. And we call that, there it is, right there. That anxiety, which is then a mental disorder. But again, how do we correct that? Oh, we go to the doctor and we get what they call some medications. No, Wellbutrin, Seroquel, some psychotropic medication to correct the anxiety. But guess what it doesn't do? It may remove some of the heightened emotions about it, but it can't remove the thoughts.
And the thoughts just keep recreating the emotions. That's why people get addicted to the drugs. Because, there it is.
Do you see?
There it is. That explains addictions. Because if you can't internally change the thought that creates the biochemical response, and all you keep doing is taking drugs to reverse the biochemical response, but you don't change the thought that creates the biochemical response, and you just keep creating the response over and over again, and you have to keep taking the drugs to try to combat the biochemical response that you created in your own mind. So that's where addictions come from. So if you don't change the thought, you can't ever get out of the addiction.
Correct.
Wow, it's so simple. It's so
simple. It is, but it's not for people who have also trained themselves subconsciously to do it. They don't know they have the power until they come into a very intense therapeutic process to let them know how to cue their own brain. Otherwise, they don't know they have the power. They think, oh, this is just happening to me. Oh, this is something I got to live with. Oh, you know, and they get comfortable with it. And then they go to certain types of therapeutic individual counseling, and it's, oh, yeah, you got to get coping skills because that looks like something's not going away.
Now, I have a question, and I guess I see this happen often. People keep thinking if they relive something, they can fix it. What is that thought cycle that people get stuck in? Like, this bad thing was said to me, and I just keep going back to it, and I keep talking about it, and I keep reliving the anger from it, and, you know, and it has happened in the past, and I don't know, maybe think that person's going to undo it some kind of way, you know, apologize for it. Well, the person doesn't apologize, and I just keep going back. Or even if the person apologizes, I still keep going back to it and saying, but yeah, but this, you said this or you did this thing. You know, say, for example, okay, there's maybe an act of infidelity in a relationship, and and you find out about it, you're disappointed, the person apologizes and say, yeah, it was at a moment I just, you know, just followed an impulse. It doesn't mean I don't love you, it's just that happened. Okay, so you let it go. But then you keep going back to that. Yeah, when you cheated on me with that person, and you keep going back to that, and you keep reliving and keep creating an angry argument about it, and it's something that happened 10 years ago, and yet you keep going back. What is that? You know, because they can't make it not have happened. And if they address it, apologize, and whatever, why is that thing a cycle where you just keep going back to it and can't let it go, can't forgive, can't stop feeling the anger that you felt? So you keep re-feeling the anger of something that happened long ago and keep recreating that moment of emotional upset and, of course, all the all the physical responses that your body has, all the biochemical changes that you felt, what makes people do that? Just keep recreating a bad feeling from the past. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to, what, fix it?
No, they can't. There's no such thing as fixing the past. What is happening is they're cycling. They're cycling in fear, and that's the fear addiction I'm telling you about. It's the fear, you know, it's the fear of letting go. It's the fear of not, you know, forgiving. It's the guilt. It's a lot of emotions, intense. And when we start, when emotions become toxic, it's hard for our minds to let them go. Until we have to come to this point called acceptance. So if we have not accepted what it is, then we will forever be attached to it. And it will just, it's like a CD player in our brain, a videotape. And it just keeps revolving, 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 with or without our permission. And because unforgiveness is present, which is if you don't forgive, it turns into toxicity. Guilt is present. And if you don't allow yourself to accept what it is and move on from guilt, it turns into toxic with remorse and shame. And anger is definitely a emotion addiction as well. It can be, again, because forgiveness is the one that feeds to anger. Unforgiveness is the one that feeds to anger, because anger has to be fed. The other ones are just, they lay dormant in us and start to transform into other things like discord, bitterness, you know, resentfulness, things like that, because they don't remain the same. Because our being was not designed to hold on to negative feelings. It wasn't designed that way. It was what we're supposed to do is feel it, release it, and let it go. Feel, release, and let, no, not suppress, not avoid.
Not pretend
it's
not there.
Feel it, release it, and let it go. We have to do it in that pattern. We can't just pretend that it's gone, because it's not, because you didn't feel it.
Right. Oh, so you have to feel it in order to release it. So if you suppress it, it's going to still always be under the surface and resurface.
Correct. So when we just feel, we're not letting it go. So that person or whatever situation you were just talking about, they're still in their feeling area. And the longer they stay there, everything just turns toxic, which makes them a very unhealthy mentally and emotionally person, even physically eventually, because it's going to cause sickness, because it's going to raise the stress hormonal level. Because every time they go through that in their mind, their stress hormonal levels are rising higher and higher and higher, and now they're not proactive anymore. They're reactive. Reactive is just what it is. You're just reacting. You're just reacting. Proactive is when you're taking the time, pulling yourself back, and saying, okay, what am I doing? I've been living this for God knows how long. Okay, it's time for me to do something different. I can't continue to do this. Because I'm hurting myself.
Yeah.
I can't continue to worry about this person, what they're doing, because I'm hurting myself. You see where it always comes back to?
Right.
It comes back to you.
I'm hurting myself.
It don't matter how much unforgiveness or anger or guilt or whatever that you feel towards another human being. It's always going to come back to you. So at some given point, you're hurting yourself, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to accept it. Or not. Some people feel, oh, I'm just going to be angry with you for the rest of my life. I'm not going to forgive you. Even when you die, I won't forgive you.
I've seen that. People hold on to that anger. The person is dead and they're still angry. But how is that benefiting you? They can't undo what they did. They're gone. And you're still angry. So what are we thinking? Well, I know we got to take a break. But I definitely want to address that stuckness.
that mental paralysis.
That mental paralysis when you just keep choosing to recreate might even be long gone. Why are you still choosing to feel that? That's the question. Well, we got to take a break, and, of course, we'll be right back. If you're on our switchboard now and have a question or comment, please press 1. And if you're watching on Soulful Solutions on Facebook Live, call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 if you'd like to speak. Or if you'd like to say something, just write in your comments, and we can share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Welcome back with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Deb. And I'm Dr. Deb with my great co-host, Naima Lateef. And our topic today is how does fear affect our minds, bodies, and spirits? And we were really in a deep discussion just a few minutes ago. One of our watchers, our guest on Facebook Live said, oh, my God, yes, my mother needs this powerful teaching from Calaveri. And that is so very true. A lot of our families need to understand. And if you notice this in your families, like, you know, a person that's like, oh, my God, is never happy. You know, they forever find fault in everything. Okay, there is a, believe it or not, addiction to unhappiness. Mm. Addiction to unhappiness is very linked to fear. It's very linked to fear because you are fearful that anything could ever go right before you realize you've trained your brain to just respond negatively. Mm. And we call that, you know, not optimism, but pessimism. And yeah. When we are pessimistic, nothing is ever right. No matter what, somebody could give you $1 million and you're like, oh, what you want me to do with that? You know? What do you want me to do with that? Why are you giving that to me? You know,
is it
what do you want? I mean, I'm serious. It is not a healthy thing. Okay, it's not a healthy thing. So if you yourself or anyone that you may know of that's dealing with that, you need to tell them get on this show right now. You know, give a call back to us because you know we want to be able to help you. We want to be able to get you to a point where you'll be able to, you know, weed through this thing. Give us a call at 515-605-9325 and hit that one button so we can hear you. And you'll be having an open mic and we will hear your call or comments or any questions.
I was wondering, people who are always pessimistic, is it because maybe at some point in their life they were disappointed when they had high hopes and then something happened and they got disappointed, so they're fearful that they're going to be disappointed, so they look on the negative side on all things. It's like, oh, I know, you know, I think something good is going to happen, but I'm afraid something bad is going to happen, so I'll just prepare myself for the disappointment. So is that what creates that cycle of pessimism?
Yes. Again, it's how we were raised as children, reared as children. If we've ever had a parent or someone that was around us that was pessimistic, okay? So that means we can never do anything right for that person.
Mm.
Everything was always wrong. Oh, you fold the bed, you made the bed wrong. Oh, you're never, you know, good enough to, you know, do this. You made,
no matter what you do, it's not good enough.
You should have made an A, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
why did that be? How come you didn't get an A?
That's right, you know? And they didn't actually appreciate just the their life, you know, because think about it. If a person is not happy or they're discontent in their life, what they do, they just pass the buck, okay?
That's it.
They pass the buck. They don't, and it's unfortunate because guess what? It came from somewhere in their life.
Mm.
So it's like it's a pattern. We go back to that cycling all over again. One would cycle into a negative, what they call family system, okay, where nothing is ever accepted, nothing is ever appreciated, nothing is, I mean, you just constantly live with a person that self-defeats, self-sabotages, and self-destructs itself. So a child is brought up in that environment, what do you think is going to happen? That child is going to think the same way if they're not careful at some point in their life, realizing, okay, what am I doing to myself? They may do it for a period of time and then change. But you asked the question before we went to break, and you're like, what would cause a person to keep recycling all of the negative things?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, what is that? Are they trying to fix it? Are they trying to not
no,
feel it?
No, it's a distortion. It's a distortion. It's called a cognitive distortion.
So they keep re-feeling the bad feeling. They keep recreating the bad feeling over and over and over again.
It is a distortion. They don't, unfortunately, they don't realize that they're self-sabotaging. Mm. Whenever that thought comes up, it could be associated with the painful experience. They don't do anything. They just yield into it.
Mm.
That's the difference between a person that has a negative thought pattern, and they may say, you know, oh, no, not this again. I'm not thinking about that. I think I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, you see what I did? I did something different.
Mm-hmm.
You have one negative thought. You have to conquer it with two positive thoughts.
Two positive thoughts.
Yeah, yes. Not just
overcome
one.
Yeah,
with negativity, you got to beat it up.
Overcome, yes.
You got to put, because negative energy is very powerful in the mind, and it will distort the mind very easily if you're not, you get what they call entangled. So you have to realize, remember I say that thin line between fear and love, okay? You can't have love and fear in the same space, just like you can't have faith and fear in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It takes a little bit of fear to have the greatest amount of faith, believe it or not. Because think about it. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen, so you don't see it. So you got to be a risk taker. Make sense?
It definitely makes sense. Now, I've observed this one family. The oldest person is like an older overachiever, you know, always, you know, top of the class, excellent, you know, first to get a promotion, you know, all those things, just overachieving, always excellent. All of the younger brothers and sisters, all the other siblings have various dysfunctions, drug addictions, you know, a lot of failed marriages, you know, in and out of jail, just, you know, homeless, just a lot of dysfunctions. And I observed they were raised by a mother, a single mother who drove very hard to be successful because, you know, she was by herself, whatever reason the father was gone. But her parenting method, and many of us have been raised by parents who use this method of criticism. The belief is, if I criticize you, I'm going to inspire you to try harder. So that worked for her oldest, but it destroyed every other child in that family. Now, I just made this observation as a observer because, you know, nobody has my opinion. But I was asking myself, why did this happen? And somewhere in her life, maybe she was raised that way. If I put down everything you do, if I always say you're not good enough, you're going to try harder. I don't know how that affects her relationship. I don't know why it caused her to end up, you know, single. I don't know what that circumstance was. I just know that the man she had those children by left when they were all very young, and she was this, you know, strong black woman, you know, I'm going to raise my children and make them succeed. But the way she spoke to them was very, very, very harsh.
Right.
Very non-appreciative of what, she was one of those, oh, you got four A's and a B, how come you didn't get an A on that last grade, you know, try harder next time, you know, that kind of mother, you know. So the oldest son, oh, just super achiever, always, you know, and I observe a little bit of that in his parenting with his own children.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's always having to help the younger brothers and sisters, and he's kind of scornful of them because they can't get themselves together.
Right.
And I'm observing, I didn't say your name, so don't say I'm putting your business in the street. Nobody knows who you are. I'm just doing this for the sake of getting Dr. Deb's assistance, if you happen to be watching this show. I'm just saying. But I'm observing this, and I'm observing the impact that the mother has had on the other siblings. Everybody's grown now, but all the younger ones are dysfunctional. The
okay.
oldest one is a super achiever.
Mm-hmm.
I see that parenting style. What, in your opinion, what happened in that family, and how come the other younger ones didn't rise to the occasion? So see, how come her method destroyed them and pushed the older one to excel?
Well, and certain families. always, Naima, every child has his own DNA pattern. Even though we're from the same bloodline, we have our own DNA, which means we have our own thinking pattern. We may have similarities, but we're not the same. And usually when you put that type of pressure on anyone, during childhood upbringing, is only going to be one or two things are going to happen. Either that person's going to be crippled or they're going to excel. Okay? Excel means both, all, everyone, if you can kind of see this in a visual, everyone is on the bottom. Okay? Everyone is being pressured by the same amount of pressure. However, as they are rising, they're developing different types of mindsets. So the one that's excelling, the one that's excelling had the strength to and the ability, okay, to be able to cipher through whatever his difficulty was dealing with that type of upbringing. So he made a choice, okay, I'm not going to be this. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what this is, I don't like this, and I'm not going to be that thing. However, the other siblings took it from an emotional level. They took it from an emotional level, and when you're in your emotions, you're not truly making any solidified decisions. What you do, you're just feeling, and you're taking it inwardly, and, oh, I am the thing that she says I am. So that then becomes my reality. I am not what I think I am, like the other siblings. You know, the other siblings, like, no, I'm going to excel. I'm not going to be what she wants me to be because I already know. You know, and the difference between, again, is the DNA structure on the will of the person. Some may have low will tolerance, and apparently the low will tolerance was with the other siblings. And there was a high will tolerance with the other young man you're talking about. Mm-hmm. One of our, I want to comment on this. Carolyn Hunter said, very true, they are repeated transferring the same negativity that is shown to them until they overcome this behavior. Mm-hmm. That comment right there is so real because most people continue to process mentally the same thing they've been exposed to over and over again, which goes back to the autopilot. However, if they start changing, something's going to happen to get them to a point, and I just believe that the universe does this. It puts us in certain positions, you know, to where you're like, okay, what are you doing? Because you're going to see negative outcomes. You keep seeing negative outcomes. Either you're going to believe that those negative outcomes are your life, or you're going to get sick and tired of it and start changing it. You're going to either do one of those two things. She also made another comment. Carolyn Hunter said, even as parents, we need to realize all our children are different.
Mm.
What I've learned, what works for my oldest doesn't work for my middle child.
Mm.
So that being said, this is when parents need to not even use, I call it severe criticism for their children.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to, if you want to use constructive criticism, you can do that. That means I am not criticizing you. I'm showing you and helping you to recognize what you're doing so that you can make a difference. So if I reprimand you, oh, you did this terrible thing. What's wrong with you? That was so stupid. Okay, now what you're doing, you are not using corrective criticism. You can say, you know what, you did that. Tell me what you saw wrong. What was the outcome of that thing?
Mm.
Did anything go right or did it go wrong? And most likely they're going to tell you it went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's find out, why did that go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, help them to figure it out instead of reprimanding or criticizing to the point where you're totally inducing what you're doing. You're inducing fear, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
You're changing the way that person thinks about itself.
Yeah.
Because it feels that it can never satisfy itself or satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it on a repetitive basis, again, it depends on the type of person. A person can become very crippled mentally by that.
Mm.
Oh, I can never do this. I can never do that. I will never be happy. I'm not strong enough. Or even if they are, they will never use their strengths. They will never use their strength. They will never know their purpose. They will never know anything because they, again, believe what you said.
Mm.
They really, truly believed it.
And that's kind of what I observed with this family. It's like, you know, if you're told you're so stupid, you're never going to be nothing, you know, all those things, it's like the other siblings took that to heart and manifested in their lives, you know, constantly losing jobs or, you know, can't get off the addiction or, you know, can't keep a relationship. I mean, it's just, I'm observing this. It's like, okay, you had one that, like you said, maybe they had the strength to overcome and decide, well, I'm going to be the opposite of what she's saying and I'm going to excel. But the other ones, it's like it broke them. And
right.
They
That's
became what she kept throwing at them, you know.
It causes what we call internal damage, mentally and emotionally. It causes internal damage.
Is that repairable?
I'm sorry?
Is that repairable once you become an adult?
Well,
and have internalized?
It depends. That person that has lived that life has to recognize at some given point that it's dying because you're not living anymore.
Wow.
Because think about it. You're not living your full potential. You're not using your strength. You don't have no self-awareness. So what else, what can happen? Nothing can happen until, you have some people that live this way up until their 40s and 50s, 60s.
Wow.
I mean, because they have been self-defeating and self-sabotaging till they've trained themselves that, life is not what they thought it was going to be because they never tried. They never put themselves at an advantage. And it's not, the thing about it is when a child experiences this, that's different.
Mm.
If the child is like that. But when as the child grows into a young adult or older adult, then it is something that has to change. That person should have some type of awareness, like, what am I doing with my life? Because relationships are going to fail. Matter of fact, you won't have any relationships that are going to actually flourish. Because you can't, your energy level is so low.
Wow.
Your frequency of life is so low to the point where you're not even recognizing. And we go back to what we talked about earlier. You have an addiction to unhappiness.
Mm. Now, I've observed another thing, another group of friends that I have in terms of relationships. And we had this conversation about how couples should treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one person, kind of believes that women are too emotional, expecting somebody to coddle them all the time and he has a relationship with someone who he speaks harshly to, and she cries a lot because she's very sensitive. And he says that she's just too emotional. And he, he's got a military background. I think he was an officer in the branch. but he's got a very harsh way of speaking, and she is a very sensitive kind of person, and she cries if her feelings are hurt. And he says, I'm trying to toughen her up. And, and I observe that, and I'm thinking, and maybe that's what some parents think when they use that harsh parenting style. And we had this conversation because one of the other couples, a guy, he would, you know, say little sweet kind of things, like, oh, sweetie, oh, honey, oh, blah, 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 blah. And the harsh guy would say, oh, see, you're gonna have these women running all over you because you don't know how to be strong. You don't know how to be firm. You got to show them, you know, some strength as a man. And so we were kind of discussing the two different styles in terms of how you relate to someone. But my thought is, if you're in a relationship with someone who is harsh and not soothing and you're a sensitive person, does that toughen you up, or what does that do to you internally over time if you're always, you know, getting your sadness triggered by your feelings hurt? What is that? How would you assess that situation?
Well, first of all, if you're in this relationship, you didn't come in this relationship blind, okay, which means that if this is the person that you are involved with and you already see their, I call it their life patterns, okay? Life patterns are linked to thoughts, emotions, physical, expressions, right? So, and it can go all the way back to areas of how we were reared as a child when we go coming forward. If you find yourself feeling attacked, because that's what's happening, okay, by words, gestures, emotions, you got to ask yourself, why is this affecting me this way? These are just words. Oh, you can say, oh, no, well, I love this person, and they have no right saying this to me, and, I feel, okay, but wait a minute, who's feeling like the victim? Who's feeling like the victim? The victim is the person that feels the intense pain, you know what I'm saying, that's feeling the intense pain from those actions, from those words, from whatever. Now, if somebody's not physically touching, okay, that's something totally different. But if there's someone saying something to you, if it's profanity or calling you out your name or whatever, okay, that's abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Just get that out the way. That's something totally different. But if they're saying something to you, well, why did you do that? That was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't seem to be able to do anything right. Mm-hmm. You always got, you know, issues. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that true? You got to ask yourself, because if it's affecting me, if I'm believing it, because I'm reacting to it, is that true? You know, because we don't react to the things that are truthful, whether we realize or not. Mm-hmm. Not so much the things that are hurtful, that are in pain, no, the things that are truthful, because truth really hurts. It hurts. And in our mind, we're like, why would you say that? Why would you put me down? Why would you do this? Well, the question is, how are you responding to that thing? You could say, you know, because remember, you're hypersensitive in an area, which means I am emotional when it comes to you saying what I am or what I'm not or what this and that. Okay, use that back and forth all again. Who's the victim? See, I have to come back to that. Who is feeling victimized? You are feeling victimized because of what someone is saying to you. So let's just say, for the sake of understanding, you remove your victimized mindset, and you're no longer the victim. Now you're going to look at that a whole different way. Oh, so you thought I was this. You think I'm that. Could you tell me why you think that? What is it that I'm doing to do that? Because I don't see myself that way. So tell me what you see. And maybe it's something I need to improve on. You know, instead of we taking it so personally, because when we take it personally, here comes the adrenaline drip, here comes the stress hormones are going to rise, and we get comfortable responding to those things the same way over and over again. We have a couple. Look at this. Hello, Jody Susan. Look at that queen. Welcome, Grand Rising. She says, couples need to be mindful of what they bring into the relationship. They can bring in love, joy, or fear and anger. They bring it in with stories, TV, videos, with people, and more. I agree.
Right.
I agree.
Because you're bringing the sum total of your experience into whatever relationship you had. If you had a bad relationship, you're bringing the energy of that, too. Unless you, release it and let it go.
Exactly. And Carolyn Hunter says, sounds like you my ex-husband's marriage. That's why he's now my ex.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, we make our choices, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Either you make the choice to be addicted to unhappiness or make a choice to be addicted to happiness. You have to know the choice because there's no gray shaded area.
Wow.
And wherever that is, it's going to make it predetermined on how your life is. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
All right. And let's see.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Welcome back to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Deb and my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif. And we are definitely coming on to that, in almost at the end of our show here. Our topic today is how does fear affect our minds, bodies, and spirits? And we were talking about relationships. So it is very of our lives. And again, you have healthy fear and you have not so healthy fear. And we call it, I kind of put it into this little package deal, which is optimism and pessimism, but also being addicted to unhappiness.
Can a person be afraid to be alone to the degree where they will stay in an unhappy relationship because they fear abandonment? Now, a pattern that I've seen with several female friends that I have, they grew up in a family where the father was gone. He left the mother for whatever reason. And so they are now determined to not be alone, but the choices that they've made, in my observation, are not healthy choices, are not affirming choices, are not choices of people who lift them up, but instead keep them in a state of emotional distress. But it seems that they're following a thought pattern of, but at least I got a man. And so I'm listening to their unhappy stories and their complaints, and I'm thinking, but why are you staying? And yet somewhere in their thinking is that, but I'd rather have a relationship than be alone. And I don't know if it's fear of abandonment or fear of being what they observed in their mother is not having someone. You know, I mean, some of them have children, some of them don't have children. But mm-hmm. I've noticed the common denominator is an absent father growing up. And there seems to be a fear of letting go of a bad relationship in the belief that they will then have no one. How does someone break that kind of cycle? Or is that just a life decision that you've just made to just stay in something that's hurting you?
Well, Joni made a real good comment here. She said, yes, we all have a choice in the matter, and it's true, because we do. We have a choice to be miserable or we have a choice to be happy. So it's up to us as individuals to make those choices, even if we did have exposure of an upbringing that seemed to be addicted to unhappiness. You know, nothing looked like it ever went right. It was always some type of drama or some type of distorted dysfunctionality, you know. So, again, we have a conscience that should alert us and let us know, wait a minute, something's not right. And there is signs. We don't pay attention to the small signs. We wait until the big signs come before we pay attention, unfortunately. Then it's not like it's too late, but you're so in the thick of it that it's hard for you to find your way out. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we get in those cycles. We call these things called mini cycles. Mini cycles are when there's small things that are happening to let you know this is leading to a road of destruction. You know, and it's like so small that sometimes we don't always pay attention to it. We see it, but we don't recognize it. You know what I'm saying? It's like the, you know, the snake that's in the grass. We know it's there, but, you know, it's concealed, you know. So we just continue to live our lives thinking that, okay, you know, it'll get better, you know. Here comes another situation, and we just ignore that completely. We avoid it. We don't pay attention to it. And so now all of these things that we have not been paying attention to start to collaborate with each other and form what they call a fear cycle, okay? That fear cycle then comes in with really powerful, I call it the tsunami emotions.
Mm.
Because guess what? You're about to get hit. Because
wow.
The craziest thing about this story is, Naima, the other little small thing, that one's not even big as the other stuff, but just this little small thing that's going to happen. It's like, you know what they call the mountain on the molehill, or what is it called? You know, where this little, you know, straw that broke the camel's back, you know? And that small thing becomes enormous, and we're like, oh my God, what happened all of a sudden? No, it wasn't all of a sudden. You've been going through this for periods of long don't you know it takes fear years? I'm talking about 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 or more years to destroy a human being.
Wow.
And it is an ongoing process of constant cycling, constant cycling. And my life, what I do actually for my clients, I have to do a life cycle analysis. And I take them all the way back to childhood and look at how they were reared, what they were exposed to as children, and find the fear.
How far back do you go in terms of, you know, like their first memory, age two, age, you know, I mean, what?
Right.
How far back?
Even I ask the question, you know, what type of upbringing, you know, or atmosphere you were in. But most of all, what did your mother experience when caring?
Ooh.
Was she in a volatile experience? Was she in a lot of emotional drama? Was she, or whatever the case may be, while caring you that you know of? Some people know, some people don't know. But whatever interutero, if you was exposed to emotional distress by the mom, you're going to have some type of fear-based mindset, okay?
Mm.
And
wow.
That is as you come to life. Okay, sometimes we think that babies who are colicky think that they have some kind of physical thing going on. But really and truly, if you really ask any doctor or pediatric, they'll let you know if the mother was carrying a baby that she was very emotional or went through anything emotional, such as domestic violence or just any type of lifestyle of pressure, that baby's going to be affected. So fast forward, as the child comes to life, comes out, the child has a low tolerance for emotions. So those low tolerance start to react, which is that child angers easily, becomes very hypersensitive it's almost like they are very emotionally sensitive people.
What about
and
children? I'm sorry.
Okay, sometimes we call it empath, right? An empath feels everything. You know, they feel everything because they are highly emotional. And it's an advantage, but then again, it's a disadvantage. So they go through this pattern and continue to live this life, realizing that, okay, I'm just really emotional. They'll say, because they know they're really emotional.
Mm.
But the goal is to shift out of that emotional mind into what is called an analytical mind and getting a balance right there with the reasonable mind and the emotional mind creating the wise mind. So you're not so emotional and you're not so analytical. You have a balance right there that will help you continue to make decisions as you go throughout your life.
We got a bunch of people on the switchboard, and if you all have questions, please press 1. We are in our last like 12, 13 minutes of the show, so we want to give you a chance to express your thought or give Dr. Deb a chance to answer your question. But the question I have, just looking at patterns of certain children, they seem to have a high level of being easily frustrated, and they give temper tantrums. It's like, you know, if I can't get my way or if something goes wrong, I'm immediately upset and I'm screaming and out of control. Is that something that may have been developed in utero, some level of emotional frustration, the reason why they have such a low tolerance of it? And, of course, I'm going to take a call after you give this answer.
Yes, ma'am, because guess what? Whatever the characteristics of life patterns, thoughts, feelings, as I refer as life patterns, let's say they have a father that had anger issues, okay? And they, believe it or not, can get transferring of those same patterns. I am actually counseling a 15-year-old. Her father, I counseled him, had anger issues so badly till he would punch holes in the wall to the point where he was screaming, yell in public places with his wife.
Wow.
And she couldn't take it anymore. So, and he did not want, he has went into psychiatric treatment in pain several times because of this angry outburst and got a diagnosis. Okay, got a diagnosis of bipolar with manic depressive, right? So that being said, and I'm not saying that that's the reason why this person is angry. I'm just letting you know these are characteristics, okay? That diagnosis was given by a professional. We're not talking about the mental illness. We're talking about the emotions of this individual. So when I brought him and he told me, he said, I experienced anger at an early age. I saw my father kill my mother. And he was always angry. He was always angry at her. He was always abusing her. So guess what the mother experienced while carrying the child?
Fear.
The same experience. So this is why he then experienced these things. And he had a low tolerance. Okay, so he was one of those children you were talking about that never, you know, were always angry, was always frustrated, and didn't understand why. That he had such a low tolerance to life, right? Okay, so here we are. He's in his mid-30s, definitely self-defeating, self-destructing, until he realized the story. So when I told him the story and I taught him how his brain reacts to whatever he was responding and has been responding to, it opened his mind. He said, oh, my God. He said, all this time, I thought that was the way I was. I said, no, it's not. Your brain is responding off of stimuli that you experienced when you were a child. That the characteristics from your father that was actually in utero when your mother was experiencing this traumatic experience. And so what he did was start, and, you know, I taught him how to cue himself and taught him how to recognize when things were totally, before they got to the point where they were totally out of control. So now, guess what? He doesn't have anger outbursts anymore. He's a smooth sailing person. Even when he does get angry, he uses his coping skills, and he pulls himself back enough so he can gain his posture and deal with it. So we can go ahead and take that call.
Okay, and if you're on our switchboard and you also have something to say, please press 1 now so we can give you enough time to speak. And we've got 312-671, looks like Minister Robert Floyd Plump, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today. Give us your question or comment for Dr. Deb as we talk about the issue of fear. Have you had you've had a military experience, right? Have you had fear issues in your life? Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, in Yashalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. Yes, Brother Minister Robert Floyd Plump. My comment, first of all, is to help save the children. However, fear is taught, or people are taught to fear and hate. And when they're taught to fear and hate, they also being taught to be other than themselves. And when any person is other than themselves, in the word of God, it say, take it to the elders, take it to God and leave it at the altar, and also take it to the elders. And I'm one of the elders. I'm 75 years old, and I come from the streets to Vietnam, you know, and back home where I belong, and which I've learned and discovered in my experience, and it became my best teacher. Love begins at home, in a house and a home is supposed to be no doubt out of experience of love. And when you love God and love yourself and your family and your people, you won't hate anybody else. And I wanted to know from the good doctor, are you in Chicago?
No, sir, I'm in Atlanta, on the outskirts of Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, well, that's good. I got family in Atlanta, too. We know that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family, you know, I met Senior, and he was from out of Atlanta, Georgia, too.
Right.
However, yeah, you know, I do have family there, And I want to extend a love collaboration through education that we need to reestablish. It takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid, as Mama D say. So, Wayon Yah Shalom, we love you. Keep up the good work and continue to help save the children. And I'm working on that here in Chicago with National Black Wall Street Chicago. And you can go to my website.
Thank you so much. And appreciate all that you do and continue to do your excellent work. He's 75 and still going strong. And we definitely appreciate Minister Plump for his diligence in reminding us that we must save the children. You know, and I think about that Vietnam era, a lot of men who, you know, are, I guess, maybe the grandfathers, great-grandfathers now, but there were a lot of men who came back with some really deep anger issues. There was
the
anger at being sent to a war that they didn't really understand what was going on. And then there was the feeling of having been deceived and misled. And then there was the anger over being drugged. Because to kill somebody, it really goes against the spirit. So a lot of the drugging that happened was to numb your natural revulsion toward taking life so that you could do it without emotion. And then there's the anger of fighting for a nation that didn't really appreciate you and didn't really give you opportunities for self-development. So I see a lot of anger in that era of men. So I really admire Minister Plump and really having conquered that with a loving mm-hmm. spirit, because that was a lot to go through. That was a lot to bring back and then try to continue a normal life. But
go ahead.
But I wonder, you know, when a person is going through something such as, you know, a military experience where there's a very heightened fear, real fear, because you're in the fight or flight situation. And I know, you know, we talked about PTSD with your guest from last week.
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome that pattern where you have maybe spent years in a situation where you really were, your life was threatened, and then you're back in civilian life where nobody's, you know, shooting at you, but yet your brain has developed that pattern of fear in order to protect yourself. Is there a cue, is there a trigger that you can create that would undo that?
Well, you know, in the psychiatric world, they'll tell you no. They'll tell you no. They think it's a permanent thing, okay, from PTSD deal with, you know, war victims. I call them victims, not just veterans, because that's what happens, as well as anything such as PTSD in a car accident or a rape victim or whatever the case may be. PTSD can actually be anything that was really traumatic in your life can cause an array of different thought patterns and visualizations and all these things to happen. Again, one has to cue itself and cue itself using the mantra. If you're dreaming, that's totally different. You don't have any control because you're in your dream state, but to be in a state of awareness during the day, eyes wide open, and you start experiencing this, you have to use the mantra. Mantra is, here we go again. You know, this too shall pass, or whatever the words you want to use, mm-hmm. but you have to open your mouth and say that so the brain can hear you. Mm. And you're not just thinking, so the brain can hear you to like, okay, so you don't want this. No, I don't. I want a shift. And you have to keep doing it, with a repetitive pattern consistently until you create a new pathway in the brain. Because 21 days or more creates a new pathway in the brain. And as you create that new pathway, then the brain will know what to do. It'll go in and get on another track. Otherwise, it's just going to keep repeating the same cycle.
Mm. You have to create a new pathway in the brain. That is amazing.
Well, I think this is a topic we probably have to do a part two, too, because I know that a lot of people have a lot of questions. Because, again, you know, fear, being fearful actually affects the workplace. It affects our personal life. happen in relationships, in our families, our sisters, our brothers, mother, friends. I mean, it goes on, and there's so much in that that fear hides. It hides in so many different things. And, you know, that's going to let you know Dr. Dev is going to start writing a book. It's called The Grinning Fly Never Told That Fear Did Not Exist.
Wow, that's going to be powerful.
Yeah, so it's based upon this knowledge that I have and have had experience in working with the last 20 years of realizing what fear is. Thank you so much, Facebook. Now, join us again on Thursday of next week from 8 a.m. 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Central Standard Time, 7 a.m. and
10 a.m. I wasn't well that long. You can hear every hour. I know, but we're going to have this on next week. www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
Thank you so much. Oh, I just love this show. I learned so much. This is therapy for me, you know, so just send me an invoice because, you know,
Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.